First of all, I'd just like to say something. I mean, I've listened to Apostle preach several times, but I mean, this is my first time in his base. And many people use title of apostle these days, but I want to say that he carries the mantle of an apostle. All right? What my eyes have seen in Makurdi, this is, you know, when I just left university, I went to work in Kano for a while with a minister. And somebody came in, who was my pastor from Badon, he came in to preach there. And he looked around at what the man was doing and he said, this is nothing but the effect of the groanings of the Spirit of God inside a person. And I want to say that what I've seen is a manifestation of the groanings of the Spirit of God in intercessory prayer. All right. I want to acknowledge, I really have a fresh measure of respect for what God is doing in and through you. Amen. All right. This morning, I wanted to, was praying about the lines in which I will go. And then I woke up and I just stumbled on a short clip of by Brother Billy Akonya when he said, he just said, Nigerians have a lot of night vigil. It's the content of the prayer that is wrong. It confirmed what I wanted to preach. So I said, let me just sit down, all right, with this. All right, so what I want to look at yesterday, to a certain dimension, we looked at operations of power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24 tells us there are two dimensions in the manifestation of Christ. There is the wisdom dimension, 1 Corinthians 1:24, and there is also the power dimension. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and Christ the wisdom of God. And many times in the body of Christ, sometimes the people that emphasize wisdom fight the people that talk power. The people that talk power, undermine the people that is not talk, is about demonstration. So, but Christ is both the power and Christ also is the wisdom of God. Jesus put it this way. He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. And then he said, nor the power of God. So I'm look at a wisdom dimension in time allocated this morning. But let me start out by reading from Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I want to establish something and I want to show it from scripture. It says, God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ and died for us. Now we must understand that the redemptive work of Christ, or the plan of redemption, is something that was beyond human comprehension. So there was absolutely no way any human being could have prayed and asked God to send Jesus. We didn't even know that that will be the solution to the problem. That is, the solution is that God will come in flesh, come into this earth, born in a manger, 30 years, and then he will die on the cross, and then on the third day he will be raised from the dead, and the real issue of man's problem will be resolved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So there is absolutely, if we gathered everybody in the world to start praying, nobody will have asked God for that. Nobody prayed that. It was God by himself in his infinite wisdom and because of his compassion for humanity, hatched a plan and said, we are going to execute this plan for the redemption of humanity. And so he executed it. Until today, he is preaching, all right, through people, persuading people about what he did, and even continues to reveal to us inside the church dimensions of it. So I want to establish something, because our faith is based on God's love for us as a people. That's the basis of our faith. And that it wasn't something we asked God to do. It was something that God did by himself. So when the Bible tells us Jesus was moved with compassion, I want us to understand what that love is. If, God forbid, let's say this monitor, all right, is very heavy, and there's a young child there that runs down the staircase, and let's just assume the floor, the steps here, and the monitor dropped on the young child's legs, and hit the legs of the young child, and the child is trapped. All of the gentlemen here will not need the child to ask for them to get up and help the child. What moves them is called compassion. Are you following what I'm saying here? So God is moved with that compassion without the child. In fact, if they sit down and say that the child didn't ask for help and the child is bleeding, we will say your heart is hard. Because you are to be moved by compassion to do it. So God was moved by compassion, not our request. Are you following what I'm saying here? We couldn't even have prayed the plan of God. It was beyond us. He was moved by compassion and sent Jesus into the earth to die for our sins and to resolve issues. Now, number two. It now says, after he has sent Jesus into the earth. Because I want to say, what's the difficulty? What's the gap? Right? What's really the gap? If God was moved, then why do people struggle sometimes with God? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it tells us that he spared not his own son, which means he didn't spare his son. You know, many years ago, I went for a minister's conference and I sat down in a restaurant there and some ministers were there. So I just overheard the minister tell, I was very young then, I went to Benin City. So I heard two ministers talking and one of them said, he was talking to another minister, his wife was there. He said, no, I didn't share with her. I shared this my meat. And he explained something I found very powerful. He said, you know, if my wife asked me for meat and I cut it, you know, if you are eating, let's say you are eating rice, you know, and you leave the chicken till the end. You know, you are eating the rice. You understand? So, yeah. You are eating the food. You leave the meat till the end. You know that meat, if they carry it, it's like, it's like that food. You didn't even, because your hope is in that meat. Someone just carries it. There's an emptiness. All the rice you ate, there's just an emptiness. So he said, you know, if I cut this meat into two, I've shared it with my wife. But if I give her the whole meat, I've shared it. Now, God did not spare his son, which means he gave everything. Are you following what I'm saying here? It says, how shall he not with us freely give us what? All things. Which means when he gave, there is nothing on this earth that is more valuable than Jesus. If he gave Jesus and did not spare, he said with Jesus, he has freely done what? Giving us all things. I'm going somewhere with this. And the Bible says he has therefore blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. So our prayer is not to cause God to give something. Because God has already given everything. We put ourselves in prayer to receive what God has done what? Given. Are you following what I'm saying here? So if a person is in a situation, what you are to do, prayer is, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Which means that will is already in existence. What I'm doing is downloading it to the earth. I am not going to tell God what to do about the situation. I am there to receive what he has already done about it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay, let me share this here. In Genesis, as we go on, chapter 21 and verse 10, this was the story of Abraham, Hagar, Sarah, and Ishmael. Now, when we read it with hindsight, because we are studying scriptures, we know the covenant of Abraham, we know that Ishmael was not the seed of Abraham, all that one, we know the theory. But emotionally speaking, and the Bible confirms what I want to say, Ishmael was Abraham's first son, emotionally. Are you following what I'm saying? He may have even looked very much like Abraham. So when Sarah told Abraham, Ishmael and Hagar must get out of the house, as far as Abraham was concerned emotionally, it was his first child and first son that was leaving the house. And the Bible says, and you will see that it affected Abraham emotionally. It says, wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the next verse says, and the thing was what? Very grievous in Abraham's sight, because he was his what? Son. So it was grievous. It hurt him. And the scripture goes on, and God said to Abraham, to reemphasize it, let not it be what? Grievous in your sight, because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And then went on, and also the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. And the next day, now, prior to this, please follow this, Abraham was described as being very rich in silver, in gold, and in what? Cattle. Now, so as Ishmael was walking around the house, a room was full of gold. A room was full of silver. He will see cattle all around. Now, the father wants to send his first child that is grievous in his eyes, that he hurts him deeply. You want to send him away. And when they send you away, then you are not coming back. You are going. It's not like you go and visit. There was no visitation. He was going. The next time Ishmael came back was for the funeral of Abraham. So you are sending him away for life. Wouldn't you pacify yourself? Are you following what I'm saying here? Pacify the boy. So, okay, bring some bars of gold. Bring some bars of silver. Carry cattle. Look, I have to tell you to go, eh? But here is what I will have. Just go with this. You'll do well. Abraham, in that state, when he was going to send him out, gave him a loaf of bread. Are you following what I'm saying? You say, come, you are going. Here is a loaf of bread. Here is a bottle of water. And you are sending a person into endless wilderness. That you are going to start walking in the endless wilderness. There was a mystery. Abraham rose up in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The next verse says, and the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. Now, so after some time the water finished. One bottle of water. Wait, if somebody sent you out, your father, with one bottle of water, you will say, this man, you are, and with all that silver and gold, and you sent me out with one bottle of water and a loaf of bread. He said, be going. But I believe, and I want to show this here, that before Abraham sent Ishmael out, he said, Ishmael, come. Let's do some study in the covenant. I will teach you where greatness comes. You see, when this bottle of water finishes and this loaf of bread finishes, that's why there has to be a demand for any covenant thing to come out. Isaac, you remain ordinary until famine comes. Jacob left the house with nothing. Joseph was betrayed. He left without anything. The wealth wasn't just transferred like that. Do you get what I'm saying here? He told him, when this thing finishes, let me tell you what to do. There is a prayer we offer up. Offer up that prayer and you will see God. Look at what happened. She cast her child and she went and sat. This is Hagar, his mother. over against him a good way off, as though a bow shot, like you shoot an arrow and say, as far as it can go. Because she said, as a mother, I can't look at my child deteriorate, eat, until that child dehydrates and dies before me. So she puts him away, says, let me not see the what? Death of the child. And she sat over against him, and she lifted up her voice and wept. Hagar did not pray. Hagar was crying that the child is about to die. The person that prayed, you see it in scripture, and God heard the voice of who? The lad. Ishmael offered the prayer. This is what I want to talk about. There's a prayer you offer up in famine. There's a prayer you offer. Ishmael offered the voice of the lad. And the angel called unto Hagar out of heaven and said, what aileth thee? Why are you troubled? Look at what he says. For Hagar, fear not. God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. It's the boy that prayed. It's not the mother that prayed. Abraham taught the boy. This bottle of water, this loaf of bread, when he finishes, don't ask for loaf again. Don't ask for water again. There's something you ask for. Look at the next verse. And lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And next verse. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water there. She didn't ask for a well of water. The well of water was already there. God opened her eyes to see it. Your prayer is not going to make God do something. Your prayer is going to make you receive what God has already done. You know, it says that she said the child. Now, let me just divert it. I guess it wasn't going to pardon me, but let me just say it because it's strong on my heart. You know, he said, carry the lad. I will make him a great nation at the point of death. That's carry him up. He's a great nation. Listen, when the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came in Hebrews, and for as much as we are children of flesh and blood, he also took likewise the same, that he might destroy him. The word destroy means to render inoperative. Him that had the power of death, and to set at liberty those who through the fear of death were held in bondage. The way Satan holds people in bondage is the fear of death. That death is not physical death. Oh, in Bible, when they say death, what they're talking about is a separation. Not that you cease to exist, but you are separated from something. So when God told Adam, in this day you die, what he was saying was that you'll be separated. In fact, what we call physical death, what the Bible calls it, is the separation of the spirit from the body. You understand? It says, as the faith without works, so also the spirit without body. So it is not that. That's why they say nobody really dies. What happens is that the spirit leaves and goes somewhere else. That's why it tells us when a Christian dies, when we say we should rejoice. Because when Abraham, in Abraham's bosom, when Lazarus was there and the rich man, were they not conscious? Their body had gone, but they were what? Conscious. They remember things. He said, tell my brothers. He said, tell. They remembered. Tell us. Which means there's still consciousness. It's just that there's a what? Severance. So when he says the fear of death, it means the fear of being severed. So what happens? What's the fear of death? If somebody gets a job, let's say a lady gets a very good job, they're paying her very well, or even a man, it is getting a good job, paying her well. So in that job, his house is tied to the job. His status in society is tied to the job. When he goes to the family and says, the MD of so-and-so has arrived, everything around him, he goes into certain places, when he's traveling the airport, many things are associated with the job. So on that job, they now threaten you. Let's say it's a woman, a man comes, the boss, and says, sleep with me. If you don't sleep with me, I fire you from this job. So she's considering, how will life be if I'm severed from this thing? That's the fear of death. Are you following what I'm saying here? They tell the man, if you don't do this and do this, we'll cut this thing off. What he's afraid is the fear of the deterioration that will come if there's a severance. So Satan holds people in bondage. So if you don't understand God's system, you may get trapped by what you call a blessing. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means Satan therefore comes and says that, listen, we will destroy you. We will sever. All your investors are walking out. They tell you, you have a business. The investors, all of them say, listen to me, you follow us into the place where we do things or else we sever everything. And you look at it. If we sever everything here, that is the end. The Christian should come out and say, I don't fear death. You know what God told about Aaron? He took him. He said, sever the branch. I will show you what it means to enter presence. He said, sever everything. Remove the leaves. Remove the flowers. Let it be. Come and drop the branch in my presence. The next morning they came out. They held the branch like this. There was nothing connected to it. The branch was blossoming. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you're a free man, you understand God's presence. Take away everything here. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you say, listen, I will enter into God's presence and he will not suffer my soul to see corruption. That's a death there, which is a severance that actually happened. And the person fears and says, if I lose this, which is how Satan now begins to dominate, which is what the mark of the beast is. You will not buy or sell if you don't bow here. You see all this business you are doing? If you don't bow. Look, the mark of the beast is not all this thing I say. It is that a human being dominates you and says, listen, your body belongs to me. Your soul belongs to me. If you don't do as I tell you to do, I will sever this thing. And you look at it, the severance of this thing means death. This is what God is saying. There's no fear of death. When the severance occurs, don't ask God to do something. Ask him to show you what he has already done. That's why David in Psalm 13 and verse 1 to 3, David prayed the prayer. That is the prayer. David also knew the prayer. He says, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? How long will thou hide thy face from me? He said, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? He said, consider and hear me, O Lord. Lighten my what? Eyes. Lest I do what? Sleep the sleep of death. When Ishmael got there, Abraham taught him. When everything finishes, just say, God, open my eyes. There is something that you have provided. I want to look at his provision. That I actually want you to receive. And so what happened was, they found the well of water, and from that point, they began. So, God says, I have given you all things. Now, here's where the problem is. So what's the issue now? What's the issue? Because if everything has been given, why is it like this? God says, okay, I've distributed to all my children. But the problem is, since they were not part of the plan, they don't even know what I've distributed. So I will do a second thing. I will send my spirit into their hearts. And it's my spirit who knows what belongs to everybody. And my spirit will therefore reveal to every single person what belongs to them. 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is of God, that we might do what? Know those things that are what? Freely given to us of God. So the Spirit of God has been sent that we may know those things that are freely given to us of God. Look, let me show where we are making the mistake here. You want to just say, well, we want to pray. Listen, this is why the Spirit of God in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for, as we what? We ought. In other words, there is an ignorance. Two cannot work together except they are agreed. There is an ignorance between the person who wants to receive and what God himself is doing what? Providing. It is this disconnect. Some people have looked at it and said, why am I spending so long with God? And God is not answering me. That's not the issue. God is not hard of hearing. The issue is, first of all, what you are coming to God for is not what God has on his heart to give. So he is not slack concerning his promise, but is not willing that any should perish, but that they should come to what? Repentance. Which means repentance means an adjustment in your mind. He's saying there's an adjustment that has to be made on the inside. Look at Psalm 106:12. It says, they believed his words and they sang his praises. Then the next verse says, they soon forgot God's works, which means the way God does his things. And they waited not for his counsel. Look at what happened. They lusted exceeding in the wilderness, tempted God in the desert. The next verse says, he gave them their what? Request. What they asked for. But sent what? Leanness to their soul. You know, I've said this here. Many times, we don't say the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You can get your request and drive the car, but still, what you thought that car will produce is not producing. You can say, God, I'm telling you, I want the house, I want this material things here. And when the thing comes, there's still what? Leanness in the soul. The next thing was that they still envied, next verse, Moses and Aaron in the saints of the Lord. So even though that has, you have gotten what you want, what you say you want. Because if you push God, if it's not against his will, you are not asking him to transgress. And you press and say, God, this is what I want. God will protest a bit your conscience that this thing will have unintended consequences. This thing will have unintended consequences. Say, God, no. God, I'm telling you, this is what I want. God says, it will have unintended consequences. I have my counsel. I have my plan. Wait for my counsel. Wait for my plan. Alright? You push it. When Israel said they wanted a king, God told them, this king you are asking for, there will be problem. There will be problem here. They said, no, we want a king like the other nations. If the other nations have a king, then we also want a king. God said, alright, you can give them the king. You will see what the king will do. So they got their request. But still there was what? Leanness in their soul. Which means they were not satisfied with what they got. So we can put it on the outside and say, this is how everything is. But the truth, you know, Apostle, there's something. I couldn't believe it. I met a great man of God who started a very successful ministry. And a young boy came to start a church close to where he's worked. He bought the building. The building the boy rented. He bought it, locked the building up, just to drive that boy away from that place. How can you be this successful and somebody who is just starting is a threat? It means that there's leanness in your soul. You have a crowd, but you are small inside. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because you can have an Isaac, you can have an Ishmael. An Ishmael can look like Isaac. Are you following what I'm saying here? I hope you're hearing me in the spirit. It's not only us that gather crowd. Everybody gathers crowd. Everybody gathers crowd. So you can't just determine the success by the appearance. And if we push that into the conscience of people, people start chasing appearance while we are deceiving them because we have covered our nakedness with fig trees. The building remained there closed for 6 years. He didn't do anything with it. Did he get his own request? He got it. Which, what it means is that what he was doing is not the exact thing that God wanted him to do. Listen. Lot asked for Sodom and Gomorrah. It was well watered. Do you get what I'm saying? Which means if you go with appearance, it's deception. God says, I have my counsel concerning that particular thing. If you have, in other words, it's just like this. Well, I believed God. God gave me the car. I drove the car into the place. I'm just using my gentleman. I drove the car into the place. I thought that because I came with the biggest car, they should respect me the most. Somebody just walked in, came with a very small car, and everybody just gathered around him that and was showing him honor. And you look, isn't it? What car did this person bring? You will know that there's something spiritual. So God says there's something, and it takes the Holy Spirit to unveil that particular thing I want to do. Listen, there is no way Joseph could have prayed what God prepared for him. Look, how would Joseph start the prayer? God, send me to jail. For true networking. This is why you can network, you see, I'm not saying nothing, but we can go into psychology and take people away from the gospel. Is it in jail you find the right connection? Now, your prayer again must be that I must be in jail and network. Then, I hope you know that that prayer also must involve that they must dream in jail. You know they have to dream. And then they must mention it to you. You know you can dream and not tell anybody. So in your prayer, you must say, Father, let them dream. Then let them tell me about that dream. Then step 4, let me interpret the dream. Step 5, let the interpretation be the release of the chief butler back to the king. Do you get what I'm saying? Step 6, let the king now dream. Step 7, let the king mention it, because he doesn't have to mention chief butler. Step 8, let the chief butler who has forgotten about me, you know he forgot the first time, remember me. Step 9, let the king send for me. Step 10, let me interpret the dream for the king. Step 11, which is the biggest, because you can interpret it and you can say, go back to jail. But do you know what happened in Joseph's life was what Abraham had seen and spoken 400 years before. That, listen, what he was saying, that they will be there for, which means hundreds of years. This was prophesying, almost 100 years, that you would child. That thing was, so Joseph was going, and Moses now connected with something that was a prophecy for 400 years. What I'm trying to say is that, listen, Kenneth Hagin set his Rema Bible School on the ground by chance. They bought a place and put it there. An elderly person came years after, and people were being sent out, came with a word of prophecy. There was a woman that used to pray on that spot. And the woman said, from this spot in 1919, shall go a voice that will enter into the nations of the earth. Kenneth Hagin didn't know. God brought him to that spot. If he didn't stay on that spot and he was 1 kilometer away, that ministry won't be what it is. That's why he says, instead of asking what you want, tell me to direct you to what I've prepared. The best paying job may not be the will of God for you. Because Sodom and Gomorrah was the best paying job. But when they enter the place, you will know that the characters that are in the office is what, do you get what I'm saying here? You can be eating like this, the characters there, and the demonic assault from the character, the food doesn't taste like there's salt in it. Then you will understand the scripture that it's better to eat herbs in peace. That scripture, when you see it, you say, this is the word of the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 11, 22 to 32. Please put up the Message translation. Message translation. Luke. The next verse, please. Sorry, Luke 12. Let me see. All right, that's it. Verse 22. He continued this, all right. He continued this subject and said, don't fuss about what's on the table at meal times, or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. Next verse. There is far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to any job description, carefree in the care of God, and you count far more. Has anyone by forcing before the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? If forcing can't even do that, why force at all? Walk through the fields. Look to the wildflowers. They don't fuss over their appearance. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never even sin. Don't you think he will attend to you, take pride in you, and do his best? Let me just say something as I go on. Because there's the knowledge of God in creation. That scripture tells every fashion designer where to find the next design. You see what I'm saying? Go into the forest. Look at the way God combined colors inside the bush that the people haven't seen. Look how he combined red with yellow with pink. Carry it. Come and design. You blow. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look, I'm telling you the truth. The reason why we fly today is that man saw birds with two wings flying. That's what inspired man to fly. We saw horses going with four wheels. The car should have four. They saw birds living underneath and fish living underneath. They said we should have a submarine. Let me tell you this. I had seen it in scripture. Day before yesterday, I saw that the Japanese had a speed train. That when they designed it and they go through the tunnel, there was a loud voice, a loud sound, bam, when it comes out through the tunnel there, that was disturbing everybody in the neighborhood. So they protested and said, you can't continue. This thing is making noise. The scientists said, they said, what did you do? They said, we saw a particular animal that the beak was shaped in a certain way. When it goes into water, it just goes in without a splash coming. He said, we will redesign the train, the mouth of the train, to fit the design of that beak. He said, we did it. Boom, through the tunnel, they got it. God's intelligence is embedded in creation. That's why he says that the invisible things of God can be clearly seen by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. This is why any true scientist knows that there is God. It is pseudo-intellectualism that says I'm agnostic. Anybody, how can you look at organized things like this and say there's nothing behind it? It's by an explosion. Since we have been exploding things, has order come out of it? If God gives attention to wildflowers, most of whom they will never see, which means we wear clothes for people to see us. God dresses flowers that nobody will ever see. He does it for himself. How won't he attend to you, take pride in you, and do his best for you? Look at the next verse. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to what God is giving. Our problem is that we want to get certain things and we don't respond to what God is what? Giving. So it's not your prayer that made Jesus, listen, for God to send Jesus. It's that you didn't pray. God sent him by himself out of compassion. Every other thing he will do in your life, he has already sent. Your prayer is to lead you in order to do what? Receive it. Do you get what I'm saying here? That means God says, as you are praying, I have to do a work in you so that you can come in alignment as you are praying, that work is being carried out. I am the one who is at work in you both to do what? Will and to do. It's like Billy Graham said the story. He said, listen, he put down, there's a maze, there's an ant looking for the way out. You are a human being. You can see the way out clearly. But the ant is running around the maze. And you can see it clearly. The problem you have is this. If you put your own finger to assist the ant gets scared of your finger. So runs away. So God says, if we do it from the outside, you'll be scared. What he does is that he comes inside you. So that he can direct you. That's why if you hear anybody's in trouble, just keep praying for them. God, open their eyes, they may see what you provided. God, open their eyes, they may see what you provided. God, open, not that God deliver them. God, open their eyes, they may do what? See, because God has already done it. And the person that knows, therefore, raises their hand to God. When they say, Father, I thank you. I thank you because you have already what? Done something about this. Now I'm here to download what heaven has. And when I download it, everybody will say, it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. And please let me tell you this. Anytime there's a disturbance in your environment that makes you uncomfortable, it's God. Don't complain about men. God has entered the waters of your life. If they come and fire you, don't talk about the politics. God has something else. That's why I allow them to fire you. Because the way you are, you will not leave that, you'll be Methuselah in that place. He tells the angels, go and drive that person to that place, my friend. Drive him out. He says they'll be offended. Let them be offended. Listen, the stake is too high. We'll rather have him offended than we don't even have a chance of him making it. When they carry Jonah, you know we are too spoiled. That's why Abraham sent his son with nothing. If they send some people with nothing, they'll be complaining about the company that didn't give them gratitude. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, sir. I'll be here anywhere. When they carry Jonah, who was missing God, look, they'll say they didn't do it. I don't waste my time on this. It's the way they did it. They can do it anyway. It's like Jesus on the cross saying, it's the way you crucified me. That is the purpose being fulfilled. That should have killed me gently. When they found Jonah, listen, when the call is great, the shaking around you. Tell me anybody who is suffering betrayal at a young age, there is something on that person. When God wanted to reposition Joseph from where he was, listen, Joseph's dream. When Joseph was telling that dream, he wasn't seeing what God was seeing. What Joseph felt was that it's his father's company he would take over. He didn't have that global something. He just said, I saw all of you bowing down to me. Those ones who looked at it and said, ah, so you'll be the one in charge of this company. We'll deal with you. They didn't know that in dealing with him, they were repositioning him. Many of you, the dealings you have suffered is repositioning. Jonah was in the boat. They carried him up. Jonah should have said, at least park. Just park by the shore. Why are you like this? They carried him. One, two, three. And to show you what happened, Jonah went in. And as far, you know, they didn't know that whale swallowed him. As far as they were concerned, Jonah has gone. And they moved on with their life happily. They didn't even look back. Do you understand what I'm saying? You said the man broke up with him. He didn't even look back. It's because God has somebody else for you. That one will take you out of his will for your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't let's read from a humanistic perspective. Let's read from God's sovereignty down. You only understand God's will from up looking down. Not from down looking up. I said, let me just tell you this story that I encourage. We were on campus. Some guy was dating her. He dated her for throughout her campus life. Throughout university, where she could have met someone, she would have dated her. Next thing that happened, he said he was getting married. I mean, the assumption was it's this lady. We just saw somebody else. So everybody will adjust. Abby, just adjust. The guy's grandfather came, the girl that he broke up after almost 6 years, came for the wedding. The father, who was a top man in this country, looked at the girl, left where he was to go and meet her. He said, after what my son did, you came here. Ah! He said, the day you are getting married, just tell me wherever you are, I'll be there. I forgot about the story. About 4 years later, there's a man of God who was on television. I just heard him singing. I don't want to call him. He was just singing on TV. I said, what is this man singing about today? He said, my daughter is getting married. Oh, my daughter, spiritual daughter, is getting... He says, when God cooks the stew, everything is in the stew. You will know the stew where the God has cooked. So I said, what stew is this? Next thing, he called the lady out. Described the man. I sat down. I said, God is faithful. Are you following me? Let God make his offer. He says, the place where you are missing is you are trying to get what you think is right. He says, and you are not waiting to receive what I have provided. What has he provided? That 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to verse 10 tells us what he has provided. He says, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes knew. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared. Not God has done what? Prepared. For them that do what? Love him. Please. He didn't say for them that God loves. He says for them that love him. Which means to enter into this is your own love for God. Are you following what I'm saying? Then he goes on and says this. He says, but God has revealed, which means whatever he has prepared comes to us by revelation, is the revelation of his wisdom. So what he tells us is, God has wisdom in store for any given situation in which you are in. He is giving his wisdom. What you are trying to receive are things. Are you following what I'm saying? Wisdom is the principle. He says what you should go for is wisdom. Listen, everything came into existence by... Look, when Jesus... Which one would you prefer? When Jesus got to the place, said we need to feed the multitude. People were talking now, we need 200 penny, we need bread, we need this, we need to send away. He said, you need not depart. He said, we need money. He said, you don't need money. There's a wisdom that will produce it. When the woman said, we are in debt, what she will have asked for is money. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, there was a power dimension. Today is wisdom dimension. That's spiritual substance. Same thing. When he said, listen, we need money. I'm in debt. The prophet came. He said, what do you have? He had wisdom. What do you have in your house? Go and borrow. Start filling it up. Wisdom. Wine has finished in the marriage feast. In other words, what Abraham told his son, that well of water, it was representational. He said, when you come to an end, enter the flow of wisdom. You know, we call it the land that flows with milk and honey. That honey that is talking, that land of milk and honey, that place, so in the spirit, is not a place, it is wisdom. Proverbs 24, verse 14 to verse 24, 14 and 15, or 13 and 14. Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. 13 and 14 says, my son, eat honey because it is sweet. All right? It's good. And the honeycomb because it is what? Sweet to thy taste. He says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul when you have found it. There shall be a reward, and your expectation can never be what? Cut off. A man who has that wisdom will never be disappointed. Any project they embark on, they succeed. What he says is, I want to give this wisdom to my people. He says, look, I will give you wisdom. I will direct you. I will show you. He will give wisdom. That's what he wants to give. What we are trying to receive from him, he says, that's not exactly what I provided for the situation. The boy that came to open up the church next to him, if the man operated with wisdom, wisdom is peaceable. Where there is fighting and strife, it means you don't have wisdom. If the man had wisdom, he would have been the one to help that person to are you following what I'm saying? Because anybody coming close to you doesn't diminish you. It increases you. They have found out when. That's why you have financial districts now, where you have banks, all of them are in the same place. Because what they have seen is that when you are all in the same place, in the same area, what you do is that everybody's performance improves. In America, when they started Starbucks coffee, they will be opening up everywhere. These small coffee shops got angry and went to report and said, listen, how can you be opening up around us? You are opening up Starbucks around us, they are taking away our clients. Starbucks came to this hearing with the data. The data showed that any area they came into, the sales of everybody in that area improved. The reason is that when a person comes to Starbucks and they say they see the queue is too long. Is there no coffee anywhere else? Then they look at this small coffee here. They go there and buy the coffee. I like this one. I'm not doing Starbucks again. I'll be coming here. Everybody was improving. But because of the way they saw it, they thought these people were a threat. If that wisdom comes, right? Let me tell you this. If Satan leaves you, you have arithmetic progression. The day he comes to fight you is geometric progression. In other words, we increase if you leave us. We multiply if you touch us. So once anything happens in our environment, we start thanking God. We count it all joy. It doesn't feel nice. We don't go by feelings. The sun that brings light also brings heat. It's either you are responding to the heat or you are responding to the light. That's what it means. That's why it says, count it all joy. It says, if any man has lacks wisdom, let him ask. Which means, it is wisdom. This wisdom is gotten. This wisdom comes when a person enters into it. It doesn't happen in isolation. A great English evangelical, I read his writing many years ago. He said, man has never learnt anything through wisdom or philosophy. That's not what he says, we've only learnt it by necessity. When Job got into trouble, when he came out of it, he said, God, I heard of thee with the hearing of my ear, but now with my eyes, I see you. It's when the pressure comes that you get. This wisdom is what the kings and prophets desire to see. This wisdom is what the angels in heaven haven't seen. Listen, 1984, I had a Kenneth Copeland prophecy. He said, God told him, and it was prophesied. He said, God said, my people are not playing. They are not in this area. I've been waiting for them. I've held onto, he said it there. He said, I've held onto the microchip, waiting for one of my Christian children to be the one I'll pass it through. I have held onto the handheld computer, waiting for my children. I'll pass it through to them. All the wealth that is in this world today is a product of wisdom. Crude oil in itself has no money in it, no wealth. Crude oil. If we were farmers and fishermen, crude oil is a nuisance. What makes crude oil valuable is that some people converted it to drive cars, converted it to fly planes. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's the conversion that is the issue. This is what God has provided. This is the hour of the church. And it's a wisdom hour. That's why when Solomon went for wisdom, God said, you didn't ask for your enemy. You didn't, no prayer, your prayer point was wisdom. He said, every other thing is yours. Look at what he says here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 23. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou can desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days are at her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are paths of peace. She is a tree of life unto those that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Says the Lord, by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he has established the heavens. And then he says, by his knowledge the depths. So which means God, he says, what he uses is this wisdom. It is this wisdom he wants to give. And so it tells us that in those times where you get to a place, what you should do there is to ask God. What's wisdom? Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the iron be blunt, which is the cutlass, then you have to whet the edge, that sharpen the edge. It says, Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. So wisdom comes. That's why it tells us in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. What will he do? He will direct your paths. It is this wisdom that he has provided. It is this wisdom that a person goes to God and God says, I will pour this wisdom right into you. It is this wisdom that they said of Jesus, what manner of wisdom had this man that such mighty works are done in his hand? It is this wisdom that he says, God teaches your hand to war so that a bow of steel is broken. In other words, a person that is taught carries a bow of steel, and God tells the person exactly where to put the hands there, exact spot, where something that is so strong, and he puts the hand in the exam and does this, and he has the weakest link in the bow of steel, and it breaks. He was taught. Look at Psalm 18 and verse 34. So show this as I. Psalm 18. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my hands. Then go to Psalm 18, I believe verse 28. Verse 28. It says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will do what? Enlighten my darkness. Then he says, for by thee I have run through a troop. By thee I have leaped over a wall. So when you see a wall and somebody comes out and says, so why can't you get there? It says it's because of the wall. It's correct, because of the wall. But the truth about the matter is that it's because he lacks light. For if he lights your candle and enlightens your darkness, by that light you will leap over the wall. But if you come out and say the wall is there, everybody will agree with you. Are you following what I'm saying? Now we can be praying, God, remove the wall. God, remove the wall. Isn't that what Paul was praying? God, let this thing depart. Let this thing depart. God says, you have grown beyond that prayer point. My grace is sufficient for you. Take pleasure now in necessity. Take pleasure in your infirmities. Because in that, your weakness will be made strong. In other words, you come into a place where it is a frustrating situation. That frustration is not based on what's happening on the outside. You have to agree what the frustration is based on, the lack of proper light. Once we approach it that way and go to God and say, we are bigger than this thing, teach us, and God begins to open, then we get to the point where we will begin to scale things. The real premise of the church. Look at what it says. It says that the Lord will light my candle. Verse 28. He will light my candle. My Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. Hear what Job said in Job 29. Look at what Job said from verse 1. He said, oh, moreover, Job continues forever and said, oh, I wish I were in months past, days when God preserved me. Look at what he said. When his candle shined upon my head, when by his light I did what? Walk through darkness. He said, light. That's why this cup running over, what God does, he will, this is what he says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Alright, it says, the rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints your head with oil so that your cup runs over. The anointing is on your head. For your cup to run over, there's an anointing that comes on your head. Do you get what I'm saying here? The Spirit of God permeates your mind. It's based on what you are doing that brings about the overflow. Nobody can convince me that when there was famine in the land, which is why Israelites are masters of irrigation. I can't prove it is in the Bible. You can't prove it is not in the Bible. So we are standstill. We are now at standstill. I can say it, and I'm at liberty to say it, because Paul said himself. He said, this one I've not received commandment, but I'm telling you my judgment. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is my enlightened opinion about what happened. When there was famine in the land, it means there was no rain. Isaac did not sow on dry ground. God must have told Isaac, there's water underneath. That's how the irrigation started in Israel. That you can access water where? Underneath. He tapped into water, and everybody were wondering, where do you get the water? Because as far as they're concerned, water must always come from above. So when you are stuck, it means the method in which you are seeing something is over, but it doesn't mean that's the only way in which it can be done. That's dimension of wisdom. The wealth to finance the church in the end times is on the premise of wisdom. It's not a raising offering. Are you following what I'm saying? Wisdom is what today, if it was 30 years ago, is only Makodi will be talking like this as we are talking. People are listening in Japan. People are listening. Before the internet came, before the internet came, when we used to post letters back then, how do you used to post a letter? You post a letter, you seal it with your saliva. You go to the post office, you drop it, it's going to America. Unto you, O Lord, I commit this letter. May it get to America, may they reply. Then they will reply, if you get it, 3 months after, you'll be so happy. Wisdom came in. All these things we are talking about have always been in the earth since the dark ages. Are you following what I'm saying here? When man was living in caves, electricity was there. What happened was our eyes were open to see it. Not that our prayers brought it into existence. Today, a person will send a mail to America. If the thing is taken 1 minute to go, impatience comes. Why is this internet not working the way it's supposed to work? 30 years ago, 1 minute. If you went and told somebody that 30 years ago, there's a time. I saw it on TV. Somebody asked Bill Gates. Back then, America, this internet you are saying, they made fun of him. This was 1990 something. Fun of him when he was in there. So what are you talking about? They laughed. This is a television program. They laughed at him. Today is not laughter. In fact, if you said it in 1930, they will say it's only witches that can do it. That they will transport your letter and come back. I'm telling you, a time is coming in this world where you will tell people you go and queue to get visa. They'll be laughing at you. It's visa. You had passports. Then they will stamp. You must be joking. So what will happen? You go and queue in front of the office. And then the visa officer will be asking you, are you serious? It will look like, who are the people going to bridge that gap? Are you following what I'm saying? A time is coming. Anything you see, and man is supernatural. It's a man in spirit. So man desires supernatural things. A time is coming. People will enter their cars here. The car will lift up and you'll be driving like that in the air. When you get home, it will come down. When you say you used to be in roads, hold up. They will say, hold up. Roads. You must be joking. It will look like horses and cars. Are you following what I'm saying? Who are the people that will discover that thing? God, there's a law. Every man will remain in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line unless compelled by an external force to act otherwise. Which is why God comes to meet you and says, you will remain seated where you are, just doing what you are doing, unless we come and flog you a bit. But you see, the problem is that there's a limit to which you can flog you, because if you are non-responsive, then you will just die while they are flogging. They say, leave him. Look for somebody else. If you're in an office, they skip your promotion twice. Don't say that they stop my promotion. Listen, say it. Promotion comes from above. Those they promoted is God that promoted them. God, why I am not what? Promoted. Somebody who was in our church, she got married to a pastor. Let me say, I'll close with this. This is why, if you follow wisdom, there's no disappointment. You understand that even betrayals are repositioned. Nothing can be done against the truth but for the truth. Nothing. Just go and meet him and ask him, Lord, direct my steps. What is the response that I should take to this situation? Don't get angry. What is the response I should take? And like we said yesterday, but let me connect it to this. He says, if any man will ask for wisdom, let him ask in faith. Faith means without wavering. What does it mean not to waver? Alright? He says, don't waver. What does it mean not to waver? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 tells us, he says, faithful is he that promised. He says it. Faithful is he. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. Alright? Without wavering. For faithful is he that promised. That word profession means our confession of our faith without wavering. In other words, to get to this wisdom, you hold your confession of the promises of God without wavering. So a person sits down. Let me show you what it means to come under that hupa I was talking about, the canopy of God. They sit down. They fired them from the office. And how they did it, they lied on them. They did that. They did all of this and they are hot. People begin to call them. It says, don't take the counsel of the ungodly. People begin to call them. How they treat you that way? These people are doing that. When they say, we must fight, we must do this. How can they do that kind of thing? How can they do it? They must do this. We must fight. People come and visit you at home. Who is this? How can they treat you this way? Then after some time, you will look back to the Bible. The Holy Spirit begins to bring to you remembrance, things he showed you. You now go to where Jesus said, the day they cast your name as evil, rejoice in that day. Your reward is great. So you put that on your lips. Now you're abiding in him. You start declaring it. I rejoice over this. My reward is great. I rejoice over this. My reward is great. As it's beginning to happen, then the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance another scripture. The scripture says that the stones the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the doing of the Lord and it's marvelous in your eyes. You begin to confess that. After some time, what happens is in your mind, you start shifting. from the place where something bad is happening to me to the place that something major is about to happen to me. Are you following what I'm saying here? You are taking yourself away from the counsel of the ungodly. You are bringing yourself under the canopy of God. What now happens is, as that shift begins to happen in your consciousness, the people that are calling you to say, look, so what's happening? I'm going to tell them. You are non-responsive to them again. In fact, what they are saying, if you continue, now sounds demonic. When I say we must fight, you tell them, listen, no, I'm okay. Because you are now positioned to expect something. You go to the book of James. He says, so did they do to the prophet. He says, hold no grudge against them. He says, because the judge stands by the door. He says, consider the prophet. Consider the end of Job. Consider. You start doing all of that. You know something major is about. Ah, you say, God, I thank you this thing happened. If this thing didn't happen, how will I appropriate all these great scriptures? How will I, are you following what I'm saying here? You start finding joy in that particular, you get what I'm saying? Here, which means your mind shifts there and you are now seeing what will come out of it. So you go to God, wisdom Lord. You are now praying in faith. You are not praying in pain. You are not praying in discouragement. You are not praying in defeat. You are praying what? In faith. That's how you put yourself under the cover. There you start praying. It says, let that man ask in faith, in nothing wavering. So you don't waver. That's why when they came to meet Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm going to die on the cross. And they said, no, we will never allow you to die. Jesus looked at them, said, get behind me, Satan. Peter was doing it in love now. The shift has occurred, and then you now tap to God, and then you are now praying and praying. God now begins to show you. He now, as you are confessing it, he now shows you. You are going to become the chief cornerstone of all the people that rejected you. He now, as you are doing that confession, shows you. This breakthrough that is coming into your life, this major position, listen, your role, the same way Joseph helped his brothers. All these people that rejected you and caused you pain, when you are in position, you are to put them in position. If you don't put them in position and you fight them, you will lose where you are. Are you following what I'm saying here? You start seeing purpose. Your mind shifts away from the negative. And then you start seeing that. And then you start asking God, and God tells you, do 1, 2, 3. And then you go ahead and do 1, 2, 3. Let me close by saying this here. It's the way you respond. It's not what you ask God. It's the wisdom you get from God to respond to situations. Listen, I'm telling you this. I have found out. I've been teaching faith. I find it difficult sometimes to say it. Listen, I have found out that if you do what God tells you to do to a situation, when something happens to you, you don't necessarily even have to know what will be the outcome. The thing will happen. You don't listen. Look, there was a man, I went to a conference many years ago in South Africa. This man came to teach. He said, this is what he came to teach. He taught on offense. And he now talked about the fact that there was somebody in his church, this was in America, that didn't get a promotion that they should have gotten. And I'll give 3 cases. Because it is how you respond. It is how you respond. Now, 3 cases here. And the man taught, and they didn't promote him. So some people came and said, it's because of the color of your skin. This is racism. And we can prove it in court. You are the most qualified person to get this position there. Anytime people are saying things to you that poison you, be careful. That you are the one to get it. He said, so he decided to go to court. He called his lawyers. Of course, you must know lawyer wants to make money. And lawyers only make money from trouble. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. If you have a marriage problem and you go and meet a lawyer, the lawyer will encourage you to divorce. You should know now. You don't understand this. They say if a man is a herbalist, his wife makes coffins, you should be careful. Because what he will give you to drink is for the wife to have business. You know, the lawyer came and said, talk. I said, we're going to call God. So he came to church that day, and this man preached about offense. That he said this. He said, you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Anywhere you are living, live in joy and peace. The man went and said, I put it out. Told his lawyers, you can go. He removed everything and said, I'll stay in this company and I'll walk under the person that I was supposed to walk. This wisdom. and stayed there. He said after some time, a company came to offer him a job. He had forgotten because he was so committed to what he was doing. So those ones told him that, look, why don't we meet on Monday? And on Monday we'll discuss it. We'll just make our offer. All right. Come for lunch and you can come with your wife. Tell your wife about it. They just said it. He said that morning he had even forgotten. He was brushing his teeth. I just remembered. Called his wife. Said, they said I should come and meet. This company said I should come and meet with them on today for lunch. Are you available? He said, yes. She now told God, said, the wife said, I know what we'll do. Multiply your salary by 4. Give it to them. When they see the figure you want, they will leave you alone. Call times 4. When they hear the figure, they will be scared. They will leave you alone. So they got to the lodge. So they asked him, so what do you want? What will be your offer? He said, he wrote it down with his wife. They smiled. These people will run away. They passed it across. Before they passed their own, the company said, all right, let's make the offer to you. They now made the offer. It was exactly times 4 of what he was earning. They passed it to him. He looked at it. He and his wife shouted because it was the exact figure. They thought it was not enough. They said, all right, bring it back. We just use that to negotiate. What he was going to court for was to become in charge of sales for the state. What the other company gave him was sales for the entire South in charge. How you respond? Are you following what I'm saying here? You walk under a salt-throwing boss. How you respond? I went in, I preached this same thing in our church. I told the story. We had just started then. There was a young man inside the church. He came back to me. I didn't even know. It was a midweek service. He came back to see me a year after. He said, you know that teaching you did? I said, yes. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, I was working in this organization. It was the top consulting firm in Nigeria then. He said, they didn't promote me. First promotion, second promotion. He said, I put in my resume. After all the work that I do. He said, so I decided I was going to start a nail making factory. He said, the reason is this. He said, this is the reason, a nail making factory. He said, because I had seen in all our consulting that there was shortage of nails in Nigeria. So I was going to do it. So he said, I decided I was going to do it. I came to church that day. You preached on it. He said, I knew that God was talking to me. I went back. I withdrew my letter of resignation. He said, I stayed. Calm down. He said, they promoted me. They promoted him the second time. Then I knew I was at peace. I was in joy. I said, I'm leaving to go and start the nail making factory. Listen, the Bible says many shall be offended and false prophets shall arise. False prophet is not false speaker. A prophet is a seer. When you're offended, you see wrong. The vision you will see when you're offended is not the real vision. He said he was going to start the nail making factory. That was what he had seen that time. He said he resigned. His father-in-law called him. His wife was pregnant with their first child. He said, why are you doing this? He said, I'm going to start. He said, I had nowhere. He sat down. Monday, that resigned. He didn't know what he was going to do. He said his phone rang on Monday. His boss from the office called him. He said a French company just came in, oil servicing company to Nigeria. They wanted us to do their tax. We gave them the price. They said it's too expensive. They can't afford it. Then I remembered you. That you will have led the team to go and do the taxation there. Are you willing to go and do it? Because I told them, we'll get somebody who will have led the team. He's on his own. He won't charge what you're supposed to charge. But he will do the kind of work we will do. Are you free? He said, we are open to him. He called him. Will you do the work? He said, yes. He went in. 1996, they paid him $24,000. 1996. Till today, he's still in tax. There's no nail making factory. He saw wrong. Go and read that scripture. He says, many will be betrayed. They will be offended. Don't respond in what? Offense. My friend Bishop Kit Butler told the most powerful story I've ever heard on response. And I'll close with this. And it's wisdom. Because the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. That's not the way to respond. Let me say this. This lady I said, her husband, let me just show you this. These things are powerful. She was working in an oil company. Let me just call it in Lagos. If I say it, people that I know will know where I'm going. So what happened was, she was in the legal department. They did a promotion exercise. I said, when the waters are stirred and doesn't look like it's going in your favor, calm down. When they did a promotion, She said, they didn't promote her. She put in more work than the person they promoted, all of that. She said, I'm resigning. Her husband said, look, this is offense. Calm down. She sat down. 2 months after, the vice president of the company in France called her directly. He said, oil has just been discovered in Uganda. And we want to open the legal department first. We want you to go and go and head the legal department. We've looked through our corporations. We want you to be an African that will go and do it. And we have had experience in Nigeria. 2 weeks from that day, she was standing before the entire Senate of Uganda making presentations to them. Now, she remembered she was about to resign. Now, let me tell you the bigger thing. Her husband was a pastor. As she moved to Uganda, he moved to Uganda, opened a church. After some time, they posted her to France. He moved to France, opened a church. As they moved her to England, so his ministry was following her career. Because as they repost her, they give him visa, work permit. He just goes, all that came. So God must have looked at him and said, you are the one. This is your wife. Do you get what I'm saying? So during COVID, I said, why do you? He said, I've been doing this before COVID. He'll put 5 folds, talking to the one in Uganda, France, England, these places, and all the churches are 5. Following his wife. Don't be angry. The anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us Jesus was born after this wise. God told me, he said, anytime I'm coming, it's always after this wise. You can get provoked. Why should God go and meet Mary without going to Joseph and tell Mary you will conceive? How many men can take it? This is how you can miss God, though. And then the woman comes and says, I'm praying with you. The Holy Ghost came to meet me and I've conceived where? And you knew that she was engaged. I said, God, why did you go and meet an engaged woman? Why? You want to cause problem? You want to cause problem? You see all the women there, you see one that's engaged to be a spouse. You know the date of wedding is coming. You know people are going to gather. And then she will have the bride and say, look at that, what are you doing? Why call? He said, that's how I do. I'm a rock of offense. If you don't operate in wisdom, you miss it. Bishop Keith Butler, I close with this story. He said this story. Powerful story. He said, they were in a storefront church. God told him, he said, somebody came to meet him and told him about a building somewhere. Told him, he said, our people can't even get to that place because the people there were not too wealthy. He said, they can't go to that kind of town. He said, the guy kept telling him, come to this place. Finally, he looked at him, God said, this is your place. He said, okay. They needed $75,000 in 1979. They said, first down payment is $25,000. In 3 months, bring $50,000. He said, okay. They took a step of faith. He said, $25,000 they paid was all the money they had anywhere in the world. They did script everywhere to pay the first installment. And in that 3 months to pay. There were 3 months of pain. I got what happened. Because I've been in a church before like that. I went to school. By the time I came back, all the old people in the church had left the church. I went to ask my friend. I said, what happened when you were in school? He said, I'll tell you what happened. So he told the story. And something had happened between the old people and the pastor. I felt it was the church. It was all the elderly people. So all the students left. So he said, Bishop Brother said, what happened was that the assistant pastor just got up, who was much older than him, and said he's leaving. And I knew what was going on. He put in the older assistant pastors, tried to stabilize the old people in the congregation. That one saw the opportunity because of the pressure on finances, that this is the time to go with these people. He went, took all the old people away from the congregation. He said he looked. Now, you are believing God for money, and all you are left with is students. You get what I'm saying here? The earners of Kenya have gone. He said he went to God, he was hot. He told the man, just wait, let's finish the building. Once you buy the building, you can go. The man said, I'm going now. He saw it as an opportune time to strike. He said he went to God. God told him, go to the congregation, raise an offering for the man. Take the money to the man. Tell him you love him. Hug him and leave the rest to me. He said he went to the church and I knew as he was saying it, because of the way God is, I knew what was going to happen. He said he raised the money. Said by the time they counted, it was the largest offering ever. You know, you are trying to believe God for money. You can even get offended at the people. So you people have this money in your house. It's not time for our opposition. You are not giving. Hey, you people have this money. He said he carried the money to meet the man and said, here. Wrote a check. Where they go? Said the man took the check, put it in his jacket, did like he didn't see him, turned around and walked away. He said, God said, you've not finished. Tell him you love him and hug him. He said he went to meet him in humiliation and hugged him. I love you. He said, that's it. You've obeyed. He said he started believing God for it. He was confessing, praying. Last day, at 10 a.m., his phone rang. He said, he picked up the phone. Yeah. Man said, please, I need to come and see you. He said, look, I'm believing God. So he said, I just need to see you desperately. He said, all right, you can come. He said, the man walked into his office. He said, I came to this church once, and I've only been to this church once. I liked what I heard. This morning I woke up, and God gave me an instruction. He opened his checkbook. Whatever amount you want, buy it. He said, he looked at me and said, you don't understand. He said, right. He said, I need $50,000. He said, is that all? Write it. He said he wrote it. The man said, thank you, I've obeyed God, and left. He said he turned around, called the bank, that please, a man came in here. You don't have to disclose to me what they have in the account. They said, whatever he tells you, they are good. Just take it. They are wealthy. He said he took the money, paid, took his own check. 15 minutes to closure. He came in with $50,000. Those people had already called the people that were going to pay for the building, thinking he would not make it on time. All right? He said he dropped it and walked out of the place. He said that church grew to 22,000. The other man's church folded up. Don't let the law of exchange work against you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying here? That somebody offends you, don't get offended back at them. Do what God says. That's what wisdom. The highest form of wisdom is walking in love towards somebody. Which means ask God, how do I respond? Are you following what I'm saying here? Wisdom says count it all joy. Wisdom tells you take pleasure in your necessity. Wisdom says take pleasure in your reproaches. Wisdom tells you that this is what you're supposed to do. And you respond in that certain way to the people. And you find out that some people, you will find out that you are spending in a certain way too, many years to come. People will see it, people will do it, and that's where it stops. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a fresh impartation of wisdom upon every single person on that sound of advice. Anybody facing anything in their lives right now that seemed harsh, that seems what is really going on, the waters have been disturbed, you have been treated wrongly. You have justification there that this is, I have been cheated. I pray that God grants you that wisdom to know what to do at that particular situation. What the enemy meant for evil is turned around for your good in the name of Jesus. That particular thing is an open door. An open door in the spirit realm to enter into something there. You will not miss your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. What God has purposed for you shall be established. The lines shall fall unto you in pleasant places. God bless you all. Thank you, Makodi. It's been wonderful having you. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, stepping into this city, observing the work that you are doing through this ministry. It is clear you have raised the horn of salvation in this land. It is clear that an apostolic work has been raised to preserve the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this nation, on this continent, and to spread it into the nations of the earth. My prayer is that work that you have started in this place, bring it to perfection in the name of Jesus. I ask in the name of Jesus for unusual wisdom for the set man. Unusual insight into things. That from this moment forward, long before anything happens, years ahead of time, he will see it in the place of prayer. He will plan for decades to come. I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, you will grant all the men that stand with him to be strengthened in their heart, to form a solid hedge around him, that the arrows of the enemy will never land, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the kingdom government that you have established in this place shall be carried, shall be carried and executed in wisdom, with capacity, understanding, and in knowledge. That rivers of living water will flow out of this city into all the nations of the earth. Two things shall emerge from this walk: nations and kings. Every remnant Christian center, wherever they are on the surface of this earth, will be a nation of kings and priests. Individuals in this ministry will appear as kings in the land. Only firstborn sons shall be inside this house in the name of Jesus. People capable of carrying the inheritance of God to the next generation in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more time, can we celebrate Jesus?